Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, partner in charge of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We created the center in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at www.businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation this morning is with Emil Frankel, Assistant Secretary for Transportation Policy at the U.S. Department of Transportation. Good morning, Emil.
Good morning, Paul.
And joining us in our conversation is Dave Abel. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
Well, Emil, let's start by setting some context. Could you tell us about the missions and the programs of the Department of Transportation?
Well, let me emphasize that the Department of Transportation, the U.S. Department of Transportation, unlike the various state agencies, and as I think you all know, every state has a State Department of Transportation or its equivalent. The state agencies or local transit authorities and so forth are owners and operators of transportation systems. In the case of a state transportation agency, of a highway system, let's say, or transit agency like the MBTA in Boston, the owner of the transit system there. That's not the case, generally speaking, with the U.S. Department of Transportation. The U.S. DOT is an agency which at the federal level makes policy, develops and proposes policies, and is essentially a grant-making agency. That is, we make grants to state and local regional transportation agencies. There's some exceptions. Obviously, the Federal Aviation Administration operates the air traffic control system, and a lot of the people who work for the Department of Transportation obviously are engaged in operating that system. But even the FAA, it's a principal role of it is to make grants for development of airports and so forth. The department itself is organized, think of it as like a large corporation with a holding company, a small holding company, the office of the secretary, and most of the resources and personnel are in what I might describe as subsidiaries or operating administrations like the Federal Aviation Administration, the Federal Highway Administration, Maritime Administration, so forth. And those are the entities that really engage most directly with the stakeholders, with state and local agencies, and or the grant-making agencies.
How do you describe the size of the department in terms of the people, the dollars, and even the skills of the people?
The department has a budget in the range of $50 to $60 billion annually and about 60,000 employees. I might say that's a dramatic reduction because on March 1st, something in the range of 80 or 90,000 employees left the Department of Transportation, transferred to the Department of Homeland Security. The Coast Guard had for 35 or 40 years been part of it since its inception, since the inception of the Department of Transportation had been a big and important part of DOT. It was transferred to the Department of Homeland Security, and then the Department of Transportation created from nothing, I might say, over a period of a year, the Transportation Security Administration, which has a significant budget, obviously, and 50 or 60,000 employees. They were all also moved to the Department of Homeland Security. So while DOT, U.S. DOT, remains a very large and significant federal agency, its numbers have been reduced dramatically. The individuals, it varies, I think, from operating administration. The Federal Highway Administration, which has antecedents going back a century, Bureau of Public Roads and so forth, an existence which predated the Department of Transportation, is dominated, as are many state transportation departments, by kind of a civil engineering culture. The career people are largely planners and or civil engineers. That isn't necessarily the case with the Maritime Administration or the Federal Transit Administration, for example. So people have a kind of public management, transportation planning, and or engineering background in terms of the career people.
Your office, the Office of the Assistant Secretary for Transportation Policy, how does that fit within the overall structure of the department?
We are part of the Office of the Secretary, that holding company to which I made reference. I might say under Secretary Mineta's leadership, there's been a greater emphasis on the policymaking function and policymaking resources available directly to the secretary. Even though I'm responsible for a staff, I'm really more in the nature of a staff advisor to the Secretary of Transportation, to the Deputy Secretary, and I work most closely and really report to a new position created at the Department Under Secretary for Policy, Jeff Shane, and Jeff has responsibility for policymaking and service transportation modes, the aviation modes, and also responsibility over you know, the policymaking functions, or a oversight, if you will, policymaking functions in the various operating administrations. So I'm in the role, particularly in the surface modes, that is rail, transit, highways, maritime, not aviation. I'm not particularly involved in aviation policy, only tangentially. And I develop policies and advise the secretary and the deputy secretary and the undersecretary, work closely with the operating administrations in the development of overall kind of one DOT policies.
You have a very interesting background that kind of brought you to your current role in the department. Can you tell us a little bit about your previous experiences before joining the department?
I came to Washington, as many young lawyers do, pretty much right out of law school, not a year or two out of law school, and worked in the public sector here in Washington. I worked on Capitol Hill as a legislative assistant to United States Senator Jacob Javits of New York, and then went to the Department of Housing and Urban Development, where I was a special assistant to the undersecretary, then the number two person in the Department of Housing and Urban Development, and a fairly kind of typical young lawyer story. And then I went back to my home state of Connecticut and spent 20 years in the private sector practicing law, but principally working with a national company that was involved in business reorganizations, real estate workouts, crisis management. I did that most of that time. I was involved in politics and public affairs, particularly at the local level and also to some degree at the state level. And then I had an opportunity to go back full time into the public sector in 1990-1991, and I became Commissioner of Transportation of the state of Connecticut. And I might say I had absolutely no background in the transportation field when I was asked to become Commissioner of Transportation, something I expressed to then-Governor-elect Weicker. And he said he was sure that, based, frankly, on my experience with the Palmieri Company and doing crisis management, he was looking for a manager more than a transportation expert. But I have been in the transportation field now since 1991. It's a fascinating field. It's given me a whole second career. And after 4 years as Commissioner of Transportation in Connecticut, I went back into the private sector as a lawyer and a consultant and an academic, spending not full-time but part-time on the faculty at the Yale School of Management and the Yale School of Forestry and Environmental Studies, focused on transportation policy and public management, transportation and environmental issues. So that was a way of keeping me at the cutting edge of those issues, along with the consulting that I did and, you know, local level, you know, chairman of my town's Board of Finance and a member of the Board of Selectmen of my town. Those of you who are listening who are from New England will understand what Boards of Selectmen are, but nobody outside of New England will understand what a Board of Selectmen does. But I was a member of a Board of Selectmen.
How did working at the state level prepare you for working at the federal government level in transportation?
It was for me a very, very important experience, and not very many of my colleagues at the political appointment level, and unlike the career people in the department, but not too many of them have worked at the state or local level. A few of us have. The Federal Highway Administrator, for example, was, like I, secretary or director of the, in her case, Arizona Department of Transportation, and others. But I find that the experience I had at the state level was absolutely invaluable in helping me shape and advise the secretary on policies, because I've been at the other end of this. The USDOTs, particularly in the surface modes, USDOTs' principal clients or customers are, as I said before, you know, we're not directly, for the most part, owners and operators of the system. So our clients and customers are those people who are the owners and operators of the system. And I've been there, so I've been on the customer side of this. And I have a feeling and an understanding, as well as, frankly, a whole set of relationships still with people who were my counterparts. And I think it is... I missed something. I'd been gone from Washington for 30 years when I came back, so there are a lot of things. I had to get kind of reacclimated to the politics of Washington and Congress and so forth. But on the other hand, I think I brought a perspective in terms of policies and programs and issues at the state and local level, which was not necessarily widely shared among my colleagues, who had many of them a lot more experience, obviously, than I in Washington. And there's a sense of the issues and what really ultimately is of concern to the users of the system, who for all of us are the ultimate customers. So I think it's hopefully – given me I can't say it's made me more valuable than somebody who brings different experiences, but it's brings a different perspective and one that I think that the secretary and the now former deputy secretary and my other senior colleagues value and appreciate.
How would you contrast the management styles at the two different levels of government?
Well, first of all, as commissioner or secretary of transportation at the state level, I had line responsibility. I don't principally, as I mentioned before, have line responsibility here. So there's that distinction. But at the state level, there is a blend of policy. You are making the principal policymaker for the state, a smaller sphere, obviously, but nonetheless for the state. But you're also dealing directly with customers and getting projects built, providing services, being responsible for the operations of the system. You know, my administrative assistant, when I was commissioner in Connecticut, had orders that periodically she was to let through a customer, a user, a constituent who had a complaint about the Department of Transportation, and people did. I got a lot of calls from people who were stuck in traffic jams and and so forth. So you're dealing directly. You are in the trenches at the state level or a transit director and so forth, which is different, for the most part, is different from those of us who are working here at USDOT.
That's a good point, especially about the line responsibility. How is the environment affected by transportation policy? We'll ask Emil Frankel of the U.S. Department of Transportation to explain this relationship when the Business of Government Hour returns.